ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாபியாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் ஃபஸ்ட் சாப்டர் செகண்ட் பாதம் அவிரோத அத்யாய ஸ்மிருத்யதிகரணம் ஸ்மிருத்யனவகாச தோஷ பிரசங்கஹ இதி சேத் ந அந்ய ஸ்மிருத்யனவகாச தோஷ பிரசங்காத் இதரேஷாஞ்ச அனுபலப்தேஹ யோக ப்ரத்யுக்த்யதிகரணம் ஏதேன யோகஹ ப்ரத்யுக்தஹ ஏதேன ஹியர் பை யோகஹ யோகா ஃபிலாசபி ப்ரத்யுக்தஹ இஸ் ரெஃப்யூட்டட் இன் திஸ் சூத்ர. ஸோ தி யோகா ஃபிலாசபி ஆஃப் பதஞ்சலி that is refuted here in this sutra. This is a small adhikaranam with only one sutra known as yoga pratyukti adhikaranam. Yoga here means yoga smriti or yoga philosophy, and pratyukti he means refutation, negation. The topic is what? Refutation of yoga philosophy. Now let us see the general analysis of this adhikaranam, this topic. Yoga philosophy is very close to Sankhya philosophy, practically Sankhya philosophy only. They are called by separate names because yoga has added two new features to Sankhya, so it becomes a new product. For instance, Sankhya philosophy does not accept Ishvara Tattvam. It is considered Nirishvara Sankhya. They accept Jiva, they accept Jagat, and they do not accept Ishvara. Then one should not get a doubt. In Vedanta also, we reject Ishvara. We should be careful. In Vedanta also, we reject Ishvara from which angle? From Paramarthika Drishti. In Advaita Makaranda, it is nicely said there. Upashanta Jiva Jagat Sishyacharya Ishvara Brahmam ஸ்வதசித்தம் அநாதி அந்தம் பரிபூர்ணம் அகம் மகஹா. வீசே பாரமார்த்திக திருஷ்டியா ஜீவ ஜகத் ஈஸ்வர பேதா நாஸ்தி, தேர் இஸ் நோ சச் பேதா அட் ஆல். பட் ஃப்ரம் வியாபகாரிக திருஷ்டி, தி எம்பெரிக்கல் வேர்ல்ட் ஆஃப் டிரான்சாக்ஷன், வி அக்செப்ட் ஜீவா இஸ் டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் ஜகத், ஜகத் இஸ் டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் ஈஸ்வரா, ஈஸ்வரா இஸ் டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் ஜீவா, ஆல் தோஸ் வி அக்செப்ட். Because Jiva is Alpajnaha, Ishvara is Sarvajnaha, Jiva is Alpashaktiman, Ishvara is Sarvashaktiman. That is why even the Mahajnani, when he starts his teaching, what he does first? He recites Sahana Bhavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu. Why? Because I am a teacher now. As a teacher, I am in Vyavaharika transactions. Therefore, I need the grace of the Lord to complete the teaching. Therefore, O Lord, please protect me. So in Vedanta, Vyavaharika Ishvara is accepted. And Ishvara, who is as real as the world. Only from the Paramarthika Drishti, one may say, Name Mrityu Shanka, Name Jati Vedaha, Pita Naiva Me Naiva Mata Na Janma, Na Banduhu, Na Mitram, Gurur Naiva Sishyaha, Siddhananda Rupaha, Shivoham, Shivoham. Whereas in Sankhya philosophy, even Vyavaharika Ishvara is not accepted. They only talk about Jiva, which is called Purusha, and Jagat called Prakriti or Pradhanam. So for them, Purusha Prakriti means Jiva Jagat. And they say Ishvara is not required and everything will happen if only Jiva and Jagat are there. Matter and consciousness are enough. And matter will naturally evolve. Their evolution theory is very close to Darwinism. And that is why when Darwinism came, it was a great threat to Christianity and some of these religions, because they were talking about an Ishvara as creator, unlike our Vedantic tradition, creation. When they talk about natural evolution, the Lord became unemployed. Now they talk about even evolution of the brain. So the evolution theory of Darwinism is close to Sankhya philosophy. They say Prakriti evolves into creation and Purusha is there to experience it. Nothing else is required. Why Ishvara at all? It is their question. And when one accepts natural creation, Bhagavan became redundant. This is Sankhya philosophy. More about Sankhya, we are going to talk about in the second pada of this chapter. Now, what did yoga people do? Yoga philosophy says that matter cannot evolve by itself without an underlying intelligence principle. That is where they differ from Sankhya. Therefore, Ishvara's blessing is required for the creation to come, according to yoga. Therefore, Purusha, Prakriti, and Ishvara, three tattvas were introduced by yoga philosophy Patanjali. This is one additional feature compared to Sankhya. What is that? Yoga created Ishvara. Look at this. We say Ishvara created everything. Whereas the yogis, they created Ishvara. Out of compassion for Ishvara, they allowed Ishvara also to come. Then the second feature different from Sankhya is, which is a most prominent contribution by yoga also, is the Ashtanga Yoga, the discipline, practical discipline for sadhana. It's an upaya. So tattva darshana upayatvena, as a sadhana for knowledge. So these are the only two additional features. That means what? They introduce the Ishvara and they also brought this Ashtanga Yoga. And the rest of the features are exactly the same as Sankhya. And since Sankhya and yoga philosophers are practically the same, there is a common expression. We call it as Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga, both together. Hence, Vyasacharya takes advantage of that and says, since I had already rejected Sankhya earlier, I need not refute yoga separately for the same reasons. Yogaha api pratyuktaha. That is a sutra. Yoga also is negated. It is also answered. Etena. Because of the same reasons. Sankhya smriti nirakaranena. For the same reasons. Now, this is what the sutra is. Now, let us come to the word meaning and word analysis. Etena means by this. By this means we have to put in bracket parenthesis refutation of Sankhya. That should be understood. It's not said in the sutra. Etena only is there. And yogaha, yogaha means yoga smriti. That also. Pratyuktaha means yoga smriti also is negated or refuted. And here Shankaracharya adds a few important points that also we will see. Number one, even though philosophically we reject Sankhya and Yoga, the Ashtanga Yoga discipline is a useful practice for integrating the personality. And therefore, Ashtanga Yoga, all those Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. All these eight organs, Ashtanga Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. What each one of them are, just only I will briefly enumerate. We won't explain because we have done that several times earlier. Number yamas. Yaman means the don'ts. What are the things to avoid? And they say five yamas. Ahimsa, satyam, asteyam. Asteyam means non-stealing. And brahmacharya means chastity, celibacy and all this. So martial fidelity. So sexual restraint. Aparigraha means non-possessiveness. And niyamas, the do's. Saucham means purity. Santosha means contentment. Acceptance of others and all that. Tapas. Tapas means austerity. Self-discipline. Swadhyaya means study of the Vedas. And self-introspection we can call it. And Ishvara Pranidhana. Contemplation on Ishvara. These are the niyamas. And then asana. The meditation posture. There are so many asanas. And for pranayama. Pranayama, the control of breath. And pratyahara means the drawing within one's awareness, transition from the external four organs of Ashtanga Yoga to the three internal ones, turning inwards. And dharana means holding one's mind onto a particular inner state. And dhyana, that we call it retention. And dhyana means contemplation, reflection. It's a profound, it's abstract meditation, dhyana. And then samadhi means oneness with the subject of meditation. So all these are considered the eight organs of Ashtanga Yoga. And we don't hesitate to borrow this idea. This is good. In the Bhagavad Gita itself, lot of words are given from Yoga Darshanam. They are used in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, there is nothing wrong in that. And therefore, Ashtanga Yoga as a practical discipline is acceptable to Vedantins. And any other aspect of the teaching which are non-contradictory to Vedas are also acceptable. For example, they say Purushaha is Asanga Chaitanyam in Yoga and Sankhya also. So wonderful. We also say the same thing. Sankhya is correct in that aspect. And they say Prakriti is Trigunatmika. That is also wonderful. We also say that. Yes, the entire 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the Triguna only. And Ashtanga Yoga is acceptable to us also. But we should know what exactly is the role of Ashtanga Yoga. Up to what extent it is useful to us, beyond what extent it is not relevant to us, that judicious distinction we should be able to make. We have completed the third sutra and second adhikaranam of this pada. So in the first two adhikaranams, Vyasacharya has already pointed out that Vedanta does not have any contradiction with Sankhya and Yoga Smriti. And where there is a contradiction with Sankhya and Yoga, there we should reject those aspects of Sankhya and Yoga. So we have evolved to that understanding. We should not mind those contradictions because it is better to contradict Sankhya and Yoga rather than contradicting the Veda. Therefore, contradiction of Yoga and Sankhya cannot be taken as a defect of Vedantic teaching. That is what we are trying to arrive at here. Contradiction of Sankhya and Yoga should not be taken as a defect of Vedantic teaching. In fact, it is a feather in Vedantin's cap, because Vedanta is not afraid of great teachers like whom? Kapila Muni, Patanjali Muni. Vedanta is interested in Shastra Pramana, Shabda Pramana, Veda Pramana, the Apaurusheya Pramana alone. And Shankaracharya says, when we reject Sankhya and Yoga philosophers or systems, we reject only those aspects contradictory to Vedantic teachings. We should be very careful in that. Whatever is Veda Aviruddha, Tarka Aviruddha, non-contradictory to Veda and logic, those aspects we do not mind borrowing from them. And Shankaracharya himself gives the example. Both Sankhya and Yoga, they define Purusha as Asanga Chaitanyam, which is in keeping with Vedic teaching also. Therefore, we have no difficulty in to accept this aspect of Sankhya and Yoga. And when they say Prakriti has three gunas, that is also non-contradictory to Vedic teaching. We don't mind accepting that also. Therefore, what is the general rule now? All smritis are partially acceptable. Whether it is Sankhya Smriti, Yoga Smriti, Nyaya Smriti, Vaisheshika. And which part? Those parts which are non-contradictory to Vedanta or logic. Therefore, the Vedantic Acharyas, they do borrow ideas from all these darshanas. And among the four smritis, the most important from which we borrow the most is Sankhya and Yoga. In Nyaya and Vaisheshika, we don't borrow much. Actually, Vyasacharya himself writes a sutra that Nyaya and Vaisheshika are not much useful to us at all. But the same Vyasacharya accepts the fact that Sankhya and Yoga are useful in several aspects. Here, both smritis are called here Shishta Parigraha Smritis. These two, Sankhya and Yoga, are called Shishta Parigraha Smritis, which are heavily used by Vyasacharya, Vedantika Acharyas also. Shishtaha means Sampradaya Acharyaha Vaidikaha. They don't rely upon Nyaya Vaisheshikam and they are called Shishta Aparigraha Smritis. Parigraha means taking. We take that. Sankhya and Yoga, we take some of those aspects. They take along. Nyaya and Vaisheshika, they don't take along. So they are called Aparigraha. And after glorifying Sankhya philosophy and Yoga philosophy as Shishta Parigraha Smritis, Adi Shankaracharya gives a warning. What does he say? Since both are borrowed heavily from, we should know clearly what to be borrowed and what to be rejected. If not, we may take the rejectable part of Sankhya and Yoga also. Therefore, Shankaracharya says we should be extra careful in studying Sankhya and Yoga. Very important. And knowing what are unacceptable portions of them is important. And when we borrow from Sankhya and Yoga, two types of ideas are borrowed. Actually, in Bhagavata Puranam, in other Puranas also, in the very Bhagavad Gita itself, one set of ideas which are borrowed are non-contradictory ideas. As we said, Prakritihi is Trigunatmika, Purushaha, Asanga Chaitanyam. They are all features which are non-contradictory, which are heavily used in all these Granthas, Bhagavad Gita and all the Puranas and all that. Similarly, Pranayama, Yama, Niyama, Asana are all acceptable to Veda itself. Therefore, Yama, Niyama are values. Veda itself recommends. Asana, Pranayama are useful. They are also borrowed from Sankhya and Yoga. And then the next item borrowed is non-essential features are also borrowed. Not only just essential features, non-essential features are also borrowed. They are just for conveying certain ideas. That is why we should know what we are borrowing and to what extent we are borrowing. All these are important. Otherwise, Vedantin can be very easily misled by Sankhya and Yoga Darshanas. That is why I emphasize this point more and more. They are just for conveying certain ideas. We borrow even some non-essential features. For example, Sankhya Srishti Prakriya, the creation in Sankhya, it is contradictory to Veda Srishti Prakriya. We have already seen that. Srishti Prakriya means what? The stages of creation, divisions of creation. The Srishti Prakriya of Sankhya is contradictory to Veda. Therefore, really speaking, we should not borrow the Sankhya Srishti at all. But we find this is heavily borrowed by the Puranas. Example, Bhagavata Purana, most of the time talks about Sankhya Srishti only. And Manusmriti also borrows Sankhya Srishti. And in fact, Gita itself borrows Sankhya Srishti. In Bhagavad Gita, we know, Bhumira aponalo vayuhu khammano buddhi devacha ahankara iti yemme bhinna prakriti rashtadha. The Ashtadha Prakriti said in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is based on Sankhya Srishti only. That is why Adi Shankaracharya refers to Sankhya Darshanam alone while talking about this particular Bhagavad Gita shloka in his bhashya. So the question will come, why do we borrow the contradictory portions also? For that, what is our answer? Srishti Prakriya is not essential for Vedanta at all. Tatparya Rahitam Tath. It is Tatparya Rahitam. No Tatparyam at all. Why? Because in Vedanta, Srishti Prakriya is only Adhyaropa. If you remember Adhyaropa Apavada, first acceptance for what? Later negation. So you accept it first, Adhyaropa, and sooner or later we will do Apavada, negate the whole Srishti in Vedanta. Since it is a negatable portion, it is only an Upaya for Advaita Avatara, Upayaha Sovataraya. It is only non-essential. So with respect to that non-essential feature, whether we take Sankhya Srishti or Vedanta Srishti, we don't care. And therefore, non-essential features are all borrowed. But Shankaracharya wants we should be extra careful in this regard when we study Vedanta. And even certain important words, they occur both in Sankhya and Yoga. And if one is not alert and careful, then one may even commit mistakes. In the Upanishad itself, the words Sankhya and Yoga, they occur. Shankaracharya refers to that. Tat karanam Sankhya Yoga Abhipanna. Sankhya Yoga Abhipanna. And Svetasvatara Upanishad says that. To Sankhya and Yoga. And Bhagavad Gita also in the chapter 2 it says, Eshate bihita Sankhya Buddhi Yoget Mamshrunom Buddhya Yuktoyaya Partha Karma Bandham Prakasyasi. Second chapter. Yat Sankhya Prapyate Sthanam Tadyogairapi Gamyate Ekam Sankhyancha Yogancha Yapashyati Sapashyati. So Shankaracharya says we should be very, very alert. Even our Smritis, they borrow those ideas. In the Veda and Gita, Sankhya has nothing to do with the Sankhya Darshana. The Sankhya talked about in Veda and Gita has nothing to do with the Sankhya Darshanam, but means Vedanta Darshanam one. In our Bhagavad Gita lectures, when we talked about Sankhya Yoga, we explained this. And when Veda uses the word yoga, it is not Patanjali meditation, but Vedic meditation. Vedokta Dhyana. And therefore, one should be very alert while studying Vedanta. But the unfortunate problem is what? In spite of Shankaracharya's clear warning, both Sankhya and Yoga have got mixed up in Vedanta. And several Purvapakshis, they have become Siddhantis. And several non-essential features have become essential now. And one such big misconception is what? Regarding the role of Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. Samadhi is one of the Ashtanga Yogas. Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. According to us Siddhantins, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi of Yoga is only an optional means for Chitta Ekagrata and Chitta Samadhanam. One-pointedness, focus. We have one of the Sadhana Chaturthe Sampattis, Samadhama, Uparama, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. So Chitta Samadhanam is one of the Sadhana Chaturthaya Sampattis. Please refer to Tattva Bodha lectures if you need definitions for all these words. And for that Sadhana Prapti, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi is not even a compulsory means, but only an optional means. But this is lost sight of by some people. And many people present Nirvikalpaka Samadhi as the only means of Advaita Jnanam. And they present that the knowledge gained through this study is confirmed only through Advaitic experience. All are words of misconception. Advaitic experience. That you get knowledge through Shravanam. And they claim that the Shravana Jnanam is incomplete. And according to them, it gets completed only through Advaitic experience. And they say that Advaitic experience is not possible without Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. That means what? Advaitic knowledge is incomplete without Advaitic experience, and Advaitic experience is impossible without Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. It is their argument. It is the most prevalent view now, and not only that, they justify this also logically. What is the logical justification? They say, in the waking state, Jagradavastha, we have Savikalpaka Avastha. That is, there is division of the subject, object, and instrument. This is called the Triputi. This word term also is familiar to us. The subject, object, instrument. That Triputi is there in the waking state, in Jagradavastha. And therefore, Triputi means Dvaitam. And Savikalpaka Avastha means Dvaita Avastha. And in Dvaita Avastha, whatever Advaita Jnanam one gets is theoretical only. And therefore, for the Advaitic Jnanam to become Advaitic experience, the division, the Vikalpa, that must go. And the divisions go only where? Only in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. These are all their arguments. And in sleep also, divisions go away. But person is in sleep. He cannot experience anything. But in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, divisions go away, but one is still awake. And therefore, what experience one will have? One is awake and division is gone. That is the Advaita experience. And without that Advaitic experience, Advaita Jnanam is incomplete according to them. Therefore, however much a person studies, the culmination of all those should be what? Should be Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. This is one of the widest misconceptions because of borrowing from Sankhya and Yoga. That is why Acharya warns all the time, one has to be very alert and careful. They did in good intention only, but it ended up in a problem. And why do we say it is a misconception? Even though it is very, very logical thing. Now let us assume that Nirvikalpaka Samadhi gives Advaitic experience, confirming Advaitic knowledge. Okay. Now, who is the expounder of Nirvikalpaka Samadhi? Samadhi is a topic, one of the 8 limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, propounded by whom? Patanjali Rishi. And in his Ashtanga Yoga, he deals with Nirvikalpaka Samadhi and as his prime topic. Yoga means Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. It is almost synonymous. Chitta Vritti Nirodaha. Yoga is Chitta Vritti Nirogaha, means cessation of all thoughts. A thoughtless state, experienceless state. Therefore, no objects are also there. And therefore, no corresponding subject also is there. And Chitta Vritti Nirodaha is equal to yoga, which is equal to Nirvikalpaka Samadhi according to them. That is the introduction of Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. And then they give further details also. Tata drashtuhum swarupe avasthanam. One remains in the swarupam of oneself in that state. Tata drashtuhu swarupe avasthanam. One is established in one's own true nature. And not only that, rithambara tatra prajna. During that state of samadhi, nirvikalpaka samadhi, enlightenment or wisdom one enjoys that carries the reality. What is Ritambara? Satyam vibhati iti Ritambara tatra prajna. That's wisdom. So what we want to say here is yoga concentrates on Nirvikalpaka Samadhi as its central theme. And who is the expounder of that? Patanjali Rishi. Why do you have to say all this? Very interesting. If Patanjali Rishi is the expounder of Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, would he have experienced Nirvikalpaka Samadhi or not? He should have definitely been in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. And Nirvikalpaka Samadhi is Advaitic experience. And Patanjali should be the greatest Advaitin in the world. But Patanjali is an exponent of philosophy which talks about what? Dvaitam. And he says, atmas are many. He says, the world is real. Atma is real. Atmas are many. Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, which he has expounded, has neither helped him to gain Advaitic knowledge, nor confirmation of Advaitic knowledge. From this, it is very clear, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi can neither give Advaitic knowledge, nor Advaitic experience. And Shankaracharya says that I don't want you to insist upon yoga and Sankhya philosophy. If you find them useful, you follow. He doesn't have objection for somebody to follow. But remember, Advaita Jnanam comes from Vedanta Vichara only. Neither from Sankhya nor Ashtanga Yoga. Only through Advaita Jnanam, Vedanta Vichara, only one can gain that. If it is useful for sadhana chaturthaya sampatti, use it by all means. Gain jnanam through vichara and gain moksha. To self-discipline, one can always use all these yoga darshanas. Nirvikalpaka Samadhi is given more importance than what it deserves according to Shankaracharya. So these Ashtanga Yoga biographies are coming out and people, they can conclude that only Ashtanga Yoga alone will give Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. It is a non-essential feature when it comes to Veda. That's all we are trying to tell. We said there are some non-essential features also we take when we do Vedanta, Vedantic study. This is one, this is taken. One should have sufficient health and values by themselves. If they want to resort to Ashtanga Yoga and gain that also, that's absolutely fine. But it has nothing to do with Yoga Shastra for Jnanam and Moksha. Atma Jnanam and Moksha are different. One should do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam for gaining Jnanam and Moksha ultimately. That is always our equation. People give overemphasis for Ashtanga Yoga and Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. they are practically useful, that is very true, but not for Atmajnanam or Moksha. So with this, the second Adhikaranam is also over. The simple Adhikaranam with only one shloka. Now we will go to the third Adhikaranam. Vilakshanatvadhikaranam. Vilakshanatvadhikaranam. This talks about the third topic of this particular path. So here, Brahman can be the cause of the universe, of, although it is of a contrary nature from the universe. Even though that is the substance of this particular Adhikarana, we are going to see it in detail. And the first sutra, there is a fourth running sutra of this Pada, and also the 138th running sutra, Brahma Sutra. Na vilakshanatvatim asyam tathatvancha shabdat. That is a sutra. Na vilakshanatvatim asyam tathatvancha shabdat. This is the third Adhikaranam, consisting of 8 sutras, so big Adhikaranam. And it is called Vilakshanatvadhikaranam. Now let us see the general analysis of this sutra. Previously, Sankhya and Yoga Smritis were refuted. Here it will be established that there is no Tarka Virodha also. So Sankhya Yoga were refuted already. Now here it is going to establish there is no Tarka Virodha also. Remember the second, this entire second pada is called Avirodha topic here. Now we have to, second chapter. And now we have to refute the illogicality pointed out by various darshanas. The illogicality pointed out by various darshanas we have to refute now. And Sankhyokta Tarka Virodha as charged by the Sankhya philosophers. And the refutation is the topic in this particular Dhikaram. So why should we discuss logicality and illogicality in Vedanta at all? As Vedanta, we have already told it is beyond Tarka and all that thing. We already quoted all those Kathopanishad Vakyas. Because we claim that Vedantic teaching has no connection with Tarka. Naisha tarkena mati apaneya. In Kathopanishad we saw that. Aniyan atarkam anuparmanat. We have seen all those various quotations from various Upanishads. And when logic has no access in the field of reality, when logic deals with objective world, why should Vedantin talk about logic at all here? Question we have to answer. Upanishad itself doesn't give any credit to logic. The Upanishad very clearly says, Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya. And Shankaracharya says it is required here, unlike in Karmakanda. In Jnanakanda, it is required. In Karmakanda, the emphasis is what? It is on action, performance of things, and not in knowledge. Knowledge means Atmajnana. You need knowledge about doing a ritual. The knowledge plays a secondary role. In Karmakanda, we require only sufficient knowledge of performing the ritual. When you do ahuti with ghee, all those things, one should know how to do it. I require only minimum knowledge and concentration in the anushtana. One can never talk about contradiction in performance. It is a matter of doing. And as a result of doing, one gets Swargaloka also. They say all those various Punya Lokas one can gain by doing so many karmas, which is a future event. Getting Swargaloka is not in this Janma. One has to die to get Swargaloka. Where is the question of contradiction there? Here we are supposed to gain Swargaloka. It is Anushtana Pradhana, Palaprapti Pradhana, and Jnanam only is an initial stage to perform a ritual. Whereas Vedanta is what? Is Jnana Pradhanam. We have nothing to do here, but we are required to know something. Vedanta begins with knowledge, and Vedanta ends also with knowledge. Jnana Anantaram, Kartavyam Kinchit Nasti. In fact, Jnanam puts an end to all the karmas. Sarvam Karmakilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyate. That's what Lord said. where knowledge and understanding become important. We have to resolve contradictions if there are seeming contradictions. So intellectual process becomes important here, where knowledge becomes important here. They are seeming contradictions because Shankaracharya says Vedanta talks about something which is already evident. It is not talking something new. What is already evident only Vedanta talks about now. Vedanta is not introducing something new. It does not introduce a mysterious Brahman, a miraculous Brahman. If it introduces a mysterious Brahman, that there is no contradiction because I don't know what is Brahman. Only after knowing the question of contradiction will come. Before knowing, it is mysterious. Vedanta points out that the ever-evident I, the conscious principle, being I am Brahman. That's what Vedanta tells. Since it reveals a Siddha Vastu means a thing that is already evident, accomplished. An evident Brahman, we already have got conclusions regarding that I. Because he talks about an evident Brahman, we already made conclusions about that. Because the subject matter of Vedanta is what? Something already evident, the I. Regarding the I, which is already evident, I have got several conclusions. What are those conclusions I already got? Aham dehaha asmi, I am this body. Aham pranaha asmi, I am this breath, this prana. I am different from body, I am different from mind. Like the Sankhya and Yoga philosophers, what they say, I am the consciousness different from body and mind. And not only they have come to the theoretical conclusion, sitting in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, they have experienced, I am consciousness different from the body also. Then what are their conclusions? There are also many consciousness. According to them, there are so many consciousness. So sitting in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi for months, spending enormous time, they have got the conclusions regarding what? Regarding the ever-evident I. Therefore, since the Vedantic subject matter is Siddha Vastu, there is nothing new here. There are twofold conclusions here, namely, one is Shastra-revealed conclusion, the conclusion that is revealed by Shastras, and another is independently formed conclusion by oneself. Independently formed means what? We have got our own conclusion. We make our own conclusion. And as long as there is contradictory conclusions, that is saying that I am Dehaha, I am the body, I am Manaha, I am the mind, I am consciousness different from the body, and there also I am Akarta consciousness. And another interesting feature here is the Sankhya philosopher, he says that Atma is Akarta, he agrees. But what he says, Atma is Bhokta. We say Atma is Akarta, Abhokta. Sankhya philosophy says he accepts Atma as Akarta, but it is Bhokta, experiencer. So conclusion given after when? Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. So from this, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi seems to support whatever conclusion a person wants to make. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, since we have got contradictory conclusions, logic is necessary to find out which conclusion is right and which conclusion is wrong. That is why even though we said it is beyond logic, but we need to have logic to make our understanding a firm understanding. And that is why we say ultimate clarity in Advaita is an intellectual process. Because even Nirvikalpaka Samadhi seems to give wrong conclusions only, as is seen in the case of the yoga philosopher also. And therefore, how do you conclude which conclusion is correct? That is why Tarka is required. Logic is required. And that is why we got Shrotavyaha, Mantavyaha. Shrotavihara first Shravanam, Mantavyaha is Mananam. Mananam alone gives ultimate reality, doubt-free knowledge. That's why Vyasacharya says in Panchadashi Vidyarana, he put Vidyarana, he says in Panchadashi. So another important grantha, I don't know when I can do that. In the sloka it says, Tabhyam Nirvikitsethe Chetasa Sthapitasya Yatim Ekatanatva Bedadhim Nididhyasana Muchyate. He defines Nididhyasana. Shravanam Mananam alone gives final clear knowledge. What is the role of Nididhyasanam? Nididhyasanam is neither for knowledge nor for confirmation of knowledge. And Nididhyasanam is only to eliminate my habitual behavior. We call it Viparita Bhavana problem. Like what? I say, Aham Brahmasmi. And later what do I say? My wife is not okay and I am upset. That means what? Mr. Brahman, myself, Aham Brahmasmi, but Mrs. Brahman is not all right. Those people who have this problem, intellectual problem, they do that. Why we get upset? Why are we depressed? Why do we have problems? There is some snag. So Vedantic Dhyanam is only for the deliberate elimination of habitual tendencies. That is called Nididhyasanam. We never prescribe dhyanam for either stillness of the mind or for gaining of knowledge or for confirmation of knowledge. Then how do you do confirmation? Only by vichara. Only by Vedantic enquiry. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, tarka virodha pariharaha. That is important. Tarka virodha pariharaha is important. That is why it is included in Brahma Sutra. Why I told all that? What is the relevance of this sutra in Brahma Sutra is for this reason. What is the tarka virodha which is claimed by Sankhya philosopher? It's very important adhikaranam actually. It's a powerful purapaksha. The Sankhya philosopher argues that material cause of anything has got a nature which is similar to the effect. We have to be careful in understanding this. Material cause of anything has got a nature which is similar to the effect. Or to put it in another language, material cause and the effect have similar nature. That is easier for us to understand. Material cause and the effect have similar nature. In Sanskrit, we say as salakshanyam. Salakshanyam. Lakshanam means nature. Salakshanam means similar nature. And its abstract noun is salakshanya. Samanani lakshanani yayoho te samana lakshane karya karane and samana lakshanasya bhavaha salakshanyam or salakshanasya bhavaha salakshanyam. We can define in many ways. So he proves that by analyzing any number of products in creation, Shankaracharya proves this, if it is a golden ornament, what will be the nature of its material cause? It will be gold only. Gold alone produces gold ornaments. And when the human beings get children, what type of children are born? They get human children only. We don't get animal children. Therefore, not only humans get human children, even their nature are hereditary. He says, my father had diabetes, I also have got diabetes. What does it mean? There is a commonness between the material cause and the effect. So the wood produces wooden furniture. Gold produces gold ornaments. Human beings produce human children. And if you extend the same logic, the material cause of this universe should be similar to this universe. Because universe is the effect. So the material cause of this world should be necessarily matter alone. And then alone, salakshanya niyama will be vindicated. And not only the cause should be material, whatever features we see in the universe, they should be there in the cause also. That is why the world has got three features. One is tamoguna, inertia feature. Another is rajoguna, activity feature. And another is sattvaguna, the knowledge feature, we can call them. So since sattva, rajo, tamaguna features are there, the material calls also, the material cause also must be material having these features. And only pradhanam or prakriti of sankhya alone fulfills this conclusion. That is the argument of the sankhya philosopher. Prakriti is matter, world is also matter. Prakriti is trigunatmika, prapancha is also trigunatmika. Prakriti is savikaram, subject to modification. World is also savikaram. So in all the features, pradhanam or prakriti and prapancha, the universe, they have got salakshanya, similarity. And what about your Brahman? He asks us, what about your Brahman? It is totally vilakshanam to prapancha, different from prapancha. Prapancha is material, achetanam, inert. Brahman is chetanam. Prapancha is trigunam. Brahman is agunam. Not even ekagunam, it is agunam, no gunam at all. Prapancha is savikaram. Brahman is nirvikaram. How can this totally vilakshanam Brahma produce a totally vilakshanam universe? That is their question. It is impossible by any extent of imagination. Therefore, vailakshanyat Brahma jagatoho tayor madhye karya karana bhava sambandha swapne pina sambhavati. Even in dream you cannot get that karya karana sambandha. Tasmat tarka viruddhatvat samanvayaha asangataha. That is their conclusion. They are so widely different that we have to conclude that the world is not a product of Brahman. It is Brahma Vilakshana. Whereas what does Vedanta say? According to Vedanta, Jagat Karanam is Brahman. In fact, that is how we started the Brahma Sutra itself. The second sutra is what? Janmadhyasya yagataha tad Brahma. In fact, the very definition of Brahma is given in the second sutra, in the beginning of the Shastra. Brahma Jagat Karanam. The cause of the entire universe is Brahman. In fact, not only Vyasacharya claimed that, he showed the Shruti support also for that. In Taittiriya, we have seen this. Yato va ima nibhuta nijayante, yena jata nijivanti, yat prayante visamvishanti. And when we compare the Brahman, the upadana karanam, the material cause, and jagat, the karyam, the effect, what do we find? They don't have salakshanyam at all, but have got vailakshanyam, difference. No similarity, all are dissimilar. To what extent? If you remember the Adhyasa Bhashya, actually I read all these Bhashya sentences at that time, only for Adhyasa Bhashya. I read the full Bhashya of Adi Shankaracharya to give you a glimpse of what is involved in trying to understand Brahma Sutra at that time. I split into various topics covered in the Adhyasa Bhashya and read all the Bhashya. But I will only read the first line here. Yushmat asmat pratyaya gocharayoho vishaya vishayinoho tamap prakashavate viruddha swabhavayoho. All that thing. That dissimilarity is absolute because Brahman is chetana vastu, prapancha is achetanam. Brahman is nirgunam, prapancha is sagunam. Brahman is nirvikaram, prapancha is savikaram. Brahman is niravayavam, prapancha is avayavam. Brahman is nirvikalpam, prapancha is savikalpam. They are so widely different that we have to conclude that the world is not a product of Brahman because it is Brahma Vilakshanam. Salakshanyam is not there. Then what is the anumanam? What is the inference now? Jagat na chetana karyam chetana vilakshanatvat asya jagataha. The world is not a product of consciousness. Jagat na chetana karyam. Or Brahma, a product of consciousness or Brahman, because chetana vilakshanatvat, being dissimilar to the chetanam, chaitanya vastu, chetana vastu. చేతన విలక్షణత్వాత్ ఇస్ ఈక్వల్ టు అచేతనత్వాత్ జడవత్ లైక్ జడ. సో వాట్ ఇస్ వ్యాప్తి హియర్ నా? యత్ విలక్షణం తత్ తత్ కార్యం న భవతి. ఇఫ్ ఎక్స్ ఇస్ డిసిమిలర్ టు వై, ఎక్స్ కెనాట్ బి ఎ ప్రోడక్ట్ ఆఫ్ వై. I am a human being dissimilar to a cow, therefore I cannot be a product of a cow. I can be a product of a human being only. Why? Selectionatva. Because of similarity. This is the Purvapaksha's contention. And the first two sutras are Purvapaksha sutras. They are arguments. And the answer will come only later. The Purvapaksha is whom? Here it is the Sankhya philosophy. He is the Purvapakshi. And the Siddhanta is only in the third sutra. And the third sutra is also a very simple sutra. Drishyate tu. The next sutra, that is going to be the answer. Drishyate tu. Now let us go to the word analysis of this sutra. What is the sutra here? Na vilakshanatvate asyam tatatvam na cha shabdat. న విలక్షణత్వాదస్య తతత్వం చ శబ్దాత్. ఫోర్త్ సూత్ర 138 రన్నింగ్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. ఫస్ట్ ది రన్నింగ్ వర్డ్ మీనింగ్ లెట్ అస్ సీ. నా మీన్స్ ద వరల్డ్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఎ ప్రోడక్ట్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ. నా మీన్స్ నో, బట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు సప్లై అదర్ వర్డ్స్. నాట్ ఎ ప్రోడక్ట్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ. సూత్ర హ్యాస్ ఓన్లీ నా. వీ హ్యావ్ టు సప్లై వరల్డ్ ఈస్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ప్రోడక్ట్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మన్. ఆల్ దోస్ వర్డ్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు సప్లై. అస్య విలక్షణత్వాత్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ డిస్సిమిలర్ నేచర్. విలక్షణ మీన్స్ డిస్సిమిలారిటీ. బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ డిస్సిమిలర్ నేచర్ మీన్స్ అస్య విలక్షణత్వాత్ తతత్వం చ అండ్ ద డిస్సిమిలారిటీ వి హావ్ టేకెన్ చ. శబ్దాత్ మీన్స్ ఇస్ ప్రూవ్డ్ బై శృతి స్టేట్మెంట్. శబ్ద హియర్ రిఫర్స్ టు శృతి. నౌ లెట్ అస్ సీ ద సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వర్డ్స్. Because this is how we develop. Normally we see the running meaning and then we do the significance. The word na, that says na brahma karyam. That is how we should understand. World is not a product of Brahman. Karya means product. So the word na means na brahma karyam. World is not a product of Brahman. Then what Acharya, Vyasacharya has in his mind? Asya means Asya prapanchasya jagataha. Because for this world, vilakshanatvat, there is dissimilarity from Brahman. Vilakshanatvat from whom? From Brahman. So vilakshanatvam means what? Viruddhani lakshanani yasya tat vilakshanam tasya bhavaha vilakshanatvam or vilakshanya. Definition. So viruddhani lakshanani yasya tat vilakshanam tasya bhavaha. Vilakshanatvam or by election. And what do we mean by dissimilarity? All dissimilarities in mind. Brahman is Chetanam, world is Achetanam. Brahman is Nirgunam, world is Sagunam. All these are kept in mind by the word Vilakshanatva. By this one word, Vyasacharya means all these differences. And to say this, he keeps a generalization in the mind. Vyasacharya, to say this, he keeps a generalization in mind. What is that? Whatever is dissimilar to another cannot be a product of the other. Understand? These are all Purvapaksha sutras. Whatever is dissimilar to another cannot be a product of the other. As we said earlier, if X is dissimilar to Y, X cannot be product of Y. Then tadatvancha, that's the next two words, tadatvancha. The dissimilarity is supported by Shabda Pramana, Veda itself. In fact, he need not quote Shabda Pramana at all. Is there a need to quote Shabda Pramana at all in this case? Dissimilarity is very clear because the inertness of world need not be proved by Shruti Pramanam at all. Right? You don't need Veda to prove the inertness of the world. It is Pratyaksha Siddham, available for Pratyaksha Pramanam. Like this table, for example, is inert. The wall is inert. And Brahman is consciousness, that is said by Shruti. And if Brahman is consciousness, then the inert world is evidently dissimilar to Brahman. We don't have to say it explicitly to show that it is similar to Brahman. You don't require Shruti Pramanam for that. And yet, this Sankhya philosopher says, Shruti itself says world is Sachetana. Okay, let him quote, doesn't matter. And when he talks about Shabda Pramana, what is the Shruti he keeps in mind? What is the Shruti, what is the Veda mantra he has in mind? Again, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, second chapter, sixth canto, third mantra. So kamayata bahusyam praja yeyeti satapotapyata satapastaptva idagum sarvam asrujata. And again, niruktancha niruktancha nilayanancha nilayanancha vijnanancha avijnanancha. Important sentence. Vijnanancha avijnanancha. The word avijnana means what? That the world is non-sentient. That the non-sentient world has been created. That is very clearly supported by Shruti, Veda, Upanishad here. So see the blind spot of the Sankhya philosopher here. He quotes the Shruti to point out that the created world is inert. Whereas in the same quotation, a few lines before, the same Shruti Upanishad, what does it say? Bahusyam praja yeyeti. To show that Brahman itself is the material cause of the universe, it quotes this particular statement. Bahusyam praja yeyeti. It became many. This is called selective amnesia. Swamiji calls it selective amnesia. He comfortably forgets those lines. Bahusyam praja yeyeti line, he comfortably forgets. And then he mentions the other one only, where Brahman is said to be the Karan. He forgets those lines and quotes only those particular statements. They are the comfortable part to show that the world is inert. And therefore, the material cause is matter only. Therefore, tatatvancha, the inertia of the world is shabdad, shruti vakyat siddham. Is clarified, is evident from Veda Pramanam itself. This is the Purva Paksha Sutra number 1. You should understand, this is not Vyasacharya's claim. He tells what would be the, what is the view of the Purva Pakshi. So this is called the Purva Pakshi Sutra number 1. And the next sutra is also going to be another sutra for Purva Pakshi. And that will continue in the next sutra. And we will see the answer for these two in the next sutra. We will see in the next class, that is tomorrow. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwaraha. Sri Krishna. Yo veda dausvara purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om shanti shanti shanti.